This is the Quality News Network. In southern Afghanistan today, 75 Taliban militants launched a brazen attack on a coalition base. 20 militants were killed as they stormed the base on three sides using guns, grenades, and rockets. In Iraq, four more U.S. soldiers were killed today in the Diyala province, where troops have launched a summer campaign. In Baghdad, only half of the unity government's cabinet remains in place after the remaining Sunni representative quit yesterday. Intense negotiations are taking place to bring them back. British and U.S. officials are bringing in the United Nations to unify the divided factions. The British Foreign Office has requested the release of five former UK residents that the U.S. government believes to be dangerous and is housing at Guantanamo Bay. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice discussed the matter with Britain last month. The White House is considering the request, having said America doesn't want to be the world's jailer. Pakistan President General Pervez Musharraf told a visiting U.S. senator that talk of unilateral American military strikes against al-Qaeda in his country is not helpful. In recent days, senior U.S. officials and presidential candidate Barack Obama have publicly talked of carrying out such strikes. In Tbilisi, Georgia's president accused Russia of trying to provoke his country by dropping a one-ton missile yesterday. No one was injured when the dud landed near a village 35 miles north of the capital city. Russia denies dropping the missile. Israel issued a rare emergency security alert urging Israeli tourists to leave all Muslim countries. Israeli security services say there are several concrete terrorist threats targeting Israeli citizens. Whether the cave-in caused seismographs to register or an earthquake caused the collapse, rescue workers are forging ahead anyway to find those six trapped miners in Utah. Rescue workers are taking five different angles and working around the clock to get to the men. It's expected to take 3 days to reach them. Rescuers have bulldozed an area near the mine collapse so they can get more equipment there. An unmanned submarine has been deployed in the hunt for bodies still believed to be trapped beneath the wreckage of Minneapolis 35W Bridge. Expert Navy divers have also been brought in to search for at least eight missing people. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
The closure of burn wards at hospitals across the country has some doctors very concerned because they are so costly to equip and staff. The number of beds for burn victims have been greatly reduced. Health officials fear it could be catastrophic in the event of another 9/11. Health officials in southern England say that they suspect an outbreak of foot and mouth disease is likely sabotage. The affected farms are within a few miles of a government facility manufacturing vaccine to prevent the disease. The price of ag land in America's heartland is going through the roof as farmers race to plant corn for use in ethanol. Nebraska farmland has risen 17% in the first quarter of this year. On average, prices are up 14% from a year ago. A heat wave is sweeping much of the country, with areas as far north as Maine experiencing extreme temperatures. Heat advisories are in effect in many areas. The heat wave is good news for NASA, as the shuttle Endeavour waits on the launch pad to lift off tomorrow night. The Federal Reserve left the key interest rate unchanged today at 5.25%. Policymakers said their biggest concern for the economy is inflation. Investors liked the announcement, closing the markets on a positive note. The Dow gained 35.5 points to wrap up at 13,504, and the NASDAQ was up 14.25 at 25,61. The S&P 500 closed up 9. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
Take me Get around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the Dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 28, Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the GLBT version of Conversation Radio. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and of course you'll find links to all of the guests, as well as to the archives at White Rose Society. You'll find links to the world's most fabulous chat room, and we have a nice crowd there this evening, all of our regulars and a few new faces. And there you will find links to the music that you hear on the show, and you'll find links to the main Head-On Radio Network site, and you can find out about all of the progressive programs on the Head-On Radio Network. Again, that's strictlyconfidentialradio.com. The call-in lines are 877, the number 4, head-on, that's toll-free, 877, the number 4, head-on, or 877-443-2366. If you have a toll-free or unlimited long-distance calling plan, you could use that and save the studio a nickel. That number is 304-658-3333. It rings in West Virginia. And email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. I try to check that from time to time during the show, and we'd love to see you stop by the chat room. Today has been a scorcher. It has been unbelievable. We've been under a severe weather alert here in North Florida and most of South Georgia for most of the afternoon. I believe the severe weather alert ended about an hour ago, unless it was reinstated. The alert was simply because of a heat advisory. The temperatures are unbelievable. With the extreme humidity, we're hitting heat indexes of 110, 115 degrees. It's going to happen again tomorrow. And I'll tell you, when we first set up this show, Bob and the world's most fabulous audio engineer, John Fox, in Australia, worked with me to get all of the levels correct in the show, and we're very careful about checking all of the background noises to see how loud things could be before they spilled over and were picked up by the mic and would go out over the stream. And one of the concerns, of course, was the air conditioner, because I have to keep this room cooled with a window unit. There's just too much stuff in here, and there's a lot of heat. Well, today, turning the air conditioner down to the acceptable level is out of the question. So today you are going to hear an additional sort of rushing sound in the background, I would expect. It's because the AC is running not quite at full, but it's running well above the level that Bob and John said was good to go for streaming the audio. Can't be avoided. It is hot, hot, hot. Unbelievable. Nonetheless, doggy's fine and I'm fine. She's asleep. And we're perfectly cool. But I got to tell you, every air conditioner in North Florida and South Georgia is running to the max. There's no doubt about it. Our good friend Lottie in chat last evening, toward the end of the show, brought up the fact that their grocery market chain called Publix, it is ubiquitous in Florida. I think it actually began in Florida. At this point, it's spread out to five southern states, which would be Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama, and Tennessee. Now, as far as I know, that's the entire United States, because you're well aware of the fact that I fully believe anything north of Atlanta is up north and not part of it. But in any case, if you do live in Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama, or Tennessee, you can indeed get free antibiotics at Publix. Now, of course, this is a marketing strategy to get people to begin using the Publix pharmacy. But nonetheless, it is, considering how badly stressed and strapped we all are to exist with $50 gasoline fill-ups, this is welcome. They're actually offering seven antibiotics. All you need to do is walk in with a prescription from your doctor. For one of these seven, it would be amoxicillin, cefalexin, penicillin VK, erythromycin, ampicillin, sulfamethoxazole, which is also, I believe, known as trimethoprim, and something, well, we all call it cipro, but the full name is ciprofloxacin, according to this printout. And they will give you, with that prescription, up to a 14-day supply, which is, as far as standard antibiotic run, is about 10 days, 7 to 10 days anyway, for most folks, for most situations. So if you indeed are in a state with a Publix, and if you are indeed strapped for cash like the rest of us, by all means, take your prescription to a pharmacist, or even tell your doctor, would one of these medications work? You can find all that information by Googling Publix. That's P-U-B-L-I-X. And I stopped in a Publix today on the way home to pick up a couple of things, and Doggy was waiting for me dutifully. We leave the windows down, and we park in the chair, run in the store, run back right back out. And so that's all okay. And when I went in the store, by the way, the Elton John, I guess that's why they call it the blues, was playing, which I was pleased to hear, because if you'll recall, we recently did a little story saying that Kroger had axed all gay musicians not to offend any of their shoppers. I have no proof of that. I can only find one source that says that, and it may very well not be true. It may just be a joke. But nonetheless, I'm still looking for verification. If you live in an area with Kroger and you shop there, I would very much like to hear back from you if you hear an Elton John track or any other gay artist in a Kroger supermarket. But Publix is giving away antibiotics, and they're playing Elton John, so all was well in the land of Publix supermarkets. I don't know what they look like in your area, but in Florida, they are also Florida palm tree. Oh, there's this particular look in Florida. It's you know, the old Spanish kind of shingles on the roof, and they're all false, of course. It's like a front, a storefront. And, you know, in North Florida, palm trees are not a naturally growing thing in North Florida. They don't occur here. The climate is much more like South Georgia here. Palm trees don't occur until you get much further south in Florida, at least naturally. And they will grow up here. They certainly grow up here. Just gets a little bit too cold for them in the winter. So, nonetheless, since they will grow up here, Publix has shipped up countless palm trees, and they're growing at all the Publix parking lots, so to make it look Florida. So I'm not sure how Publix, I doubt they do palm trees in Georgia, but or any of the other states. But down here we got plenty big palm trees and plenty big antibiotics. Maybe we should use that against, well, that's a whole other story. Tonight we are going to beat that bitch Dianne Feinstein about the ears. There's a story that we were going, who's we? This mouse in my pocket. Now, we're going to do, last week, Thursday or Friday, we didn't get to it, didn't get to it again last night. There was another alert on it today from the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, and it's got to do with Dianne Feinstein. She cast a tie-breaking vote. Many of you already know this. I'm going to go into some depth about exactly why she would do such a thing. She cast a deciding vote, she crossed party lines to do it, so that the Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee prevailed 10-9. She was the deciding vote that moved Southwick's nomination to the Senate floor. Now, Southwick is a Mississippi Court of Appeals, and he's seeking a seat on the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans, and he is an evil against just about anybody you can shake a stick at. Black folks, poor folks, working folks, gay folks. Did I miss anybody? White folks. Oh, my stars. This man actually started in private practice a long time ago, and he exclusively represented the oil and gas companies, and that's all he did. He defended oil and gas companies down in Mississippi, down in 77 through about 89. And that was when George Herbert, the father of the beast, appointed him as a Civil Division Department of Justice judge down there in Mississippi. And at this point, the beast is attempting to promote him to a, mind you, this is a permanent appointment, it's lifetime, a lifetime appointment on the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans. The very idea that Dianne Feinstein would do this is just mind-boggling. She actually has gone against the Keep American Way. She's gone against the loud cries from the Alliance for Justice, from the Human Rights Campaign, against the loud cries from the NAACP and from the AFL-CIO. She has ignored her entire constituency, as best I can tell, and supported the Republican way of truth and justice and the will of the beast. Of course, George Bush has said after the committee approval, says it's a refreshing victory for the American judicial system, which I'm sure someone wrote for him. I mean, even the refreshing and judicial system are probably above his pay grade. So, his voting record, this Southwick guy, for the last 11 years is overwhelmingly, time after time after time, in favor of big business every single time. And time after time after time, it is against the workers, it is against consumers. Let me give you an example. There was a white state employee down Mississippi, and in a meeting, where was this woman employed? She was of the, I have a reference here somewhere. Yes, this woman was a employee of the Mississippi Department of Human Services, which, of course, would directly impact poor folks and people needing any number of services that that department would provide. And she's in a meeting including the top agency executives. I'm talking about the huge state brass down there for the Mississippi Department of Human Services. And she referred to an African-American co-worker as a good old N-word. A good old N-word. N-word. She had the audacity. Can you imagine the depth of prejudice that would allow you to fling a phrase like that in front of a corporate meeting and not think a thing about it? Anyway, he defended her. The judge said, no, there's nothing wrong with that. She didn't mean anything by it. And Judge Southwick fellow, he was all for that. He just said, let that pass. He ruled that that taken in context, the slur was an insufficient ground to terminate her employment because it was not motivated out of racial hatred or racial animosity directed toward a particular coworker or toward blacks in general. Well, that seems like a bald-faced lie. She called a specific coworker a good old N-word. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if one day we're referring to the good old F-word? Make my life a little happier. But no, that would impede their freedom of speech. It would block their... It would be the thought police. We all know how they think. So in any case, this Southwick guy, he also removed an 8-year-old child, a biological child, by the way, from his biological mother, the mother that she carried for 9 months. She carried this child. This judge removed an 8-year-old child from his bisexual mother, actually her bisexual mother. The child was a little girl, and referred to the woman's homosexual lifestyle and said that it was a choice and that choices carry consequences, and the consequences of this mother's choice was to lose her 8-year-old child. This man comes down pretty hard, doesn't he? Among a whole... There's a fellow named... A family named Good. It was a lawsuit down in Mississippi, and her name was Ann, and it was the Good family versus a company called Synergy Corporation. Now, Ann was attempting to seek compensation from her employer. It was a chemical company for illnesses. Included severe headaches, seizures, burning sensations, and they were directly related to her exposure to chemicals in a dark room. Now, Southwick, this man that is about to be appointed to a lifetime position if they can sneak it past the Senate, thanks to this bitch, Democrat Dianne Feinstein, this two-faced traitor. You have to wonder how anyone could betray a party to this depth, to actually join the Republicans by one vote, by her vote, to get this guy out of committee so that it could go for a vote. Well, this judge ruled that, names mixed here. The judge ruled that the statute of limitations, no, it's not mixed, the statute of limitations had expired and then could not sue her employer for any damages or any medical care because she had first experienced these symptoms that included headaches and seizures and burns, etc., in 1983. Even though, mind you, a doctor did not tell her that the health issues were connected to her work until 1993. And she filed a suit in 1995, which is within the statute of limitations. Now, it is completely unclear how any layperson, how she could have possibly attributed her symptoms to the job conditions and the chemicals at her job, unless she had had medical advice. But, oh no, that made no difference to this Southwick guy. As far as he was concerned, she first had her symptoms back in 83, so, I don't know, it had passed the time that she could even touch this company. There was a decision where regarding employment at will, and I won't go into great detail on this, but he is a great proponent of employment at will, and that employers should be able to fire employees for virtually any reason. Don't like the color of your sneakers. Don't particularly like the way you're using those paper clips there, young man. Get the hell out of my office. And so he says that even though there may be flaws in that law, it's the law of Mississippi, and it provides the best balance of competing interests. No employee-employer relationship, no job security. It's all the employer. Now, this, of course, completely anti-union. So you can see now why the AFL-CIO is floored that this bitch, Dianne Feinstein, would... let's see, there's another example here. There was a fire there was a gas leak at a water heater, and a family was suing the company that had to do with the water heater. So he ruled that the gas leak was not the fault of the company because they had not performed any work on the heater. However, after the trial, one of the company's employees who had just learned about the case approached the family and acknowledged that he had in fact worked on the water heater. So the family moved for a new trial. But Southwick, he joins he says the plaintiff's lack of due diligence prevented them from uncovering this evidence prior to trial. Now, of course, he's completely ignoring the fact that the plaintiffs requested this information about the case during the discovery process, and that the company that they were attempting to sue did not, under oath, mention having any worker touch that water heater. Yet, after the fact, the worker comes forward and says he did, and the Southwick guy blames it on the family, that it was their fault for lacking due diligence, even though they had requested. This is the way in rules. He doesn't give a damn, and he'll take your children, he'll let your house burn, anything he damn well wants to do is what this man will do. But Feinstein is saying, I believe he is a qualified person. I don't believe he's a racist. Well, what is she? She's basically, if you reverse that to understand what she's really saying, when she says, I don't believe he's a racist, what she's actually saying is, I think that the AFL-CIO and the NAACP and all of the other progressive organizations are idiots because they believe he's a racist. She says, I believe he made a mistake and just a hand decisions, yet every progressive organization I can shake a stick at is up in arms about this. This nomination, it's likely to pick up enough Democratic support, seeing as how unbelievably two-faced the Democratic Party is, to win a Senate confirmation before it's over, and we'll have another permanent appointed judge from the beast down there in Mississippi. The update from the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, it's an alert that came out, I believe, yesterday afternoon, that they're urging the United States Senate to reject the nomination of Southwick to the lifetime seat, and how grossly unqualified he is, and what an affront he is to thinking people, etc., etc., etc. Also, this judge is a member of the Federalist Society. Now, you might not have made note of this, but do you remember the Monica Goodling bit, the Christ bot from the religious university, whatever it was? Was it Falwell's? I don't know. They all run together after a while. But Goodling, you'll recall, it was a deeply involving of the U.S. attorneys. Southwick was a member of the Federalist Society, and one of the qualifications that Goodling used to discard attorneys and replace them with attorneys that were pleasing to the beast was if they were a member of the Federalist Society. There was a column in her data regarding whether or not they were members. So, of course, it's easy to see how this judge is being looked at as a permanent lifetime appointment. So even though opposed by the People from the American Way, the Alliance for Justice, Human Rights Campaign, and NAACP, AFL-CIO, he has been passed through. Now, the president from the American Way is just horrified. She said it's incomprehensible that someone with such a disturbing legal record is being pushed toward confirmation. She said, that's not what Americans voted for when they gave Democrats a majority in the Senate. You damn straight that's not what we voted for. So let's just look at Diane and see, what's up with that? How could a woman violate her promises and violate the wishes of the leading organizations in her party? We know a lot about Dick Cheney's ties to Halliburton, don't we? We hear about it every day. We hear about he's still making bundles of money off of all the U.S. contracts in Iraq. We hear how he's still making, it's either stock options I don't know. He's still hooked up with Halliburton up to his chin. And he's getting well paid for it, which is one of the reasons why it's so important for him to keep the war going, other than, you know, him obviously being arrested when the world catches on to what they've done. But guess what? Feinstein and her wonderful multi-billionaire husband are also making tons of money off the war. Now, this switch hitter, Feinstein, and I call her a switch hitter because she's a Democrat one time and a minion of the beast the next. Now, she initially claimed that Bush had misled her prior to the invasion of Iraq, which, of course, is a complete lie. According to the Center for Public Integrity, you see, this is the bottom line. Feinstein's husband, his name is Richard Bloom, and he's raked in millions and millions and millions of dollars from a company called Perini. Now, that is a civil infrastructure construction company. Now, he's a bidder, and he holds a 75% voting share in this company. In 2003, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers gave a $500 million contract to Perini for providing services to Iraq's Central Command. A month earlier, in March 2003, Perini was awarded $25 million to design and construct a facility to support the Afghan National Army near Kabul. And again in March 2004, Perini was awarded with a huge contract worth $500 million for, get ready to smile and laugh, electrical power distribution and transmission in Iraq. And we all know how well that's working out. What are they down to 1-2 hours a day? Aren't there cities all over Iraq disconnecting from the power grid so that they can keep what precious little electricity that they do have in their own towns rather than connect to the power grid and get it completely taken away? See, Feinstein sits in the Senate Appropriations Committee, which means she's deeply up George Bush's butt, along with Cheney, the Archbishop of Hell, And she's not only on the Appropriations Committee, she's on the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. She is making the decisions, and she is reaping the benefits of her husband's investments in this company called Perini. Basically, they are a Democratic royalty. What we see in the Republicans, she is the Democratic version of it. This royal family, I hate to even say her name, the Diane family, let's just call it that, they recently purchased a $16.5 million mansion in Pacific Heights, which is a very exclusive neighborhood in San Francisco. And it's just disgusting to see them doing this war profiteering. It's just like Cheney. It's no better than Cheney. And that's exactly why the Bush administration is able to withstand this stuff, because the Democrats are in his pocket now. Bush wants that judge. I'll bet you anything that within 2 months some huge contract drifts over toward Perini for another $500 million to redo the electrical power distribution system in southern Iraq. So there you have it, the female version, Dick Cheney in drag, Dianne Feinstein, the Uber bitch. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it here on Strictly Confidential. As we come up on the break, you're listening to Strictly Confidential, toll-free at 877, the number 4, head-on, and I'm your host, Peter Godbold, streaming exclusively Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. To request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K and Shears, Shears. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed 3 brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. Group beta strep is a leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, 1/3 of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. Or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I thank you.
Something strange takes a hold of me. Every time I hear his name, it chains my mind so I can't break free. But really I don't complain. Lightning strikes
And welcome back. Welcome back to Strictly Confidential. I am your host, Peter Godbull, streaming from the very hot, very humid North Florida woods. The telephone number is 877, the number 4 head on. That's 877, the number head on. The telephone number, if you have an unlimited long-distance calling plan, is 304-658-3333. Mail arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. And I have a treat for you. It is my caller. My next caller is none other than the world's most fabulous straight guy, the musical equivalent of the Mona Lisa. We have the one and only Billy Shears. Welcome to Strictly Confidential, Billy.
Peter.
Yes, sir. Good evening to you.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And fortunately, with the AC cranked up a little bit too high for background noise, I'm cool, too.
But you need to play Hot, Hot, Hot by Buster Point. I guess you into the frame of mind that heat. Well, listen, the reason I called, I know that you do not watch much TV, so I'm here to report to you something that I found rather interesting. I do a lot of TV watching because I tape it and watch it late at night. But I was watching, of all things, Family ABC. It's like a sister station to ABC Network. And there's a show that I watch. It's called Kyle K. And it's a sci-fi thing. But
really?
What's interesting is that it's about a teenage boy who was developed in some kind of secret lab and all that stuff, but somehow that lab dissolved and he's now out in the public. So he gets hooked up with this family called the Pragers.
But wait, Billy, I can't let this pass. That sounds a lot like the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I have a point here. Let me. Right. But the thing that I found interesting is the last couple episodes, it was like the end of the school year and they're having proms and all that stuff. And the teenage girl who is, the family wanted to go to the prom with another girl. Well, the school's policy was they would not sell tickets to the same sex couple. And all stuff about it, and the parents even got involved. So they started this whole, campaign to start to have their own school prom, and they did. What's interesting is what I found interesting is the way that the show handled the whole thing. It was a very positive thing, as opposed to obviously the other way, and I especially for Family ABC, I thought that was really interesting. I don't know.
Well, that is interesting, Billy. And there's something. You're right. I don't watch TV. I have said on the air that I gave mine away. I keep a little black and white in case of tornadoes. I've become a total Netflix junkie. So I do miss a lot of this. But I did see an article recently that broke down the networks by the number of gay positive images broken down by networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and I believe Fox was included. Of course, Fox was at the bottom end of it. But interestingly enough, you've just said that this was on ABC, and ABC apparently ranks at the top in that listing in terms of presenting more positive gay images.
Oh, okay. Well, this is their family station, ABC Family. It's called Family Network. And
I see.
Very, very pleased to see the whole thing, and as a matter of fact, they even had the girls give a nice little kiss, on screen, which I thought, wow, that's pretty, pretty interesting that they would go that far.
Maybe oh my God!
But, I thought that amazing. Was interesting. Especially with something called Family ABC, and isn't ABC owned by Disney or something?
Let's see. NBC is hooked up with GE, last I heard. And yes, I think it's ABC that's hooked up with this. Fox is hooked up with the Bush crime family.
Right. So anyway, that's that deal. The other thing is, I wanted, of course, you know, I have this show Saturday night that plays some music, and I had a track that I have this segment on, that I call One Hit Wonders. And one of the tracks was by a group called the J-Net. It was Sally Go Round the Roses. Now, what's interesting about that track is that the song is actually about a teenage girl who is having mental breakdown. And the mental breakdown is because, you know, the lyrics, as you listen to the song, she says that she saw her baby with another girl. Well, that happens to be, speculation is that the characters of that song happen to be gay, and that's what it's all about, these two girls, or this girl is distraught over the fact that she saw her baby with another girl. And
yes.
I just thought that was interesting, but you know, and if they haven't already. And I do have the track, if you'd like to hear it, and what I'll do is I'll just go ahead and sign off here, and hope you enjoy the track.
Wonderful. I would love to hear it because I am not familiar with the J-Nets. Now, is this from that television show? Is that correct?
No, this is not from the TV show. No, this is separate. That was a whole separate story. The TV show.
Okay.
Was, you know, that was my first little bit, and then the second one is it just happened to be a track that I played during my one hit segment.
Yes.
That was the one hit that they had back in 1963.
Yes, you said that. I'm sorry. You know this age thing. Sometimes we don't always do that. We hear things and then just a second later it's poof, it's all gone.
Oh, come on, Peter. I don't buy that.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing this because one hit wonders are, for instance, Thelma Houston comes to mind with "Don't Leave Me This Way." She was kind of a one hit wonder. And there's several I can name, but this is a group I have never heard of. And you say it's the J-Nets with Sally Go Round the Roses, right?
Yeah, 1963. It's funny because I was talking to Bob last week about the one-hit wonder thing. And, you know, these days, there's no such thing as one-hit wonders, practically. If you look back in the 50s, the 60s, especially the 60s and 50s, were really loaded with one-hit wonders. Groups who had the opportunity to put a song out there, and yeah, it got lucky and it became, you know, a hit. But as the decades passed, that diminished, you know, because of the way the record industry and the whole nine yards is set up. It's very, very difficult for artists to get exposure, obviously.
This is a good point. I hadn't thought of it, and you're absolutely right. I haven't heard of a one-hit wonder in decades.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I'll go ahead and let you go, and love your show. I listen every night, of course, and I hope you'll do the same and check in with me on Saturday night. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Billy, and I love you, buddy.
Thank you so much for calling.
Okay. Billy has already, I guess, queued this up. You've already set this up with Agnes, so I'm all for it. I'm looking forward to hearing it. It's from Billy Shears, and it's the one-hit wonder by the J-Nets, Sally Go Round the Roses, and it should be an interesting. If Billy sent it, it's got to be good. Thank you, Billy. And Agnes, go ahead and run that.
Rose!
Wow. I don't know how I ever missed that song. I do not know that song at all. But there's a whole bunch of people in the chat room who are going that they used to dance and kiss to this song and several other remarks. It's apparently a lot of people knew about this song. I don't know how I missed it, but it's a wonderful track. In fact, I would have it to be, you know, it has sort of that that sort of a haunting sound to it, that you know, the sort of ethereal effect to it, and it almost sounds like a new song, but for the backbeat and the instruments in the song, you can spot it as being an older track. But it's actually pretty amazing. I don't know what I was doing the when that came out. I'm sure I need a note from my mother, but I did miss that, and that is a wonderful track. Thank you for sharing that with us, Billy Shears, and you should all tune into Billy's show that comes up on Saturday evenings on Net Radio Network. That's Saturday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, and the chat room, of course, is open during that period of time. In fact, the chat room is open 24 hours a day. The chat room is, of course, more active when programming is live, and of course, Billy is runs that show on Saturday evenings as a original broadcast. And so that's I just feel so deprived. How did I miss that song? Oh my. Well, I tell you what, let's do oh dear, I have some audio tracks to run this evening. I have an audio track. We may wait till later to run it from the Blondie Headed Ho that had it out on The View with what's her name? The Lord, in my mind, it's going with her. Anyway, I have a track from Elizabeth Hasselbeck where she finally admits to what the real reason that straight marriage is in trouble of. She finally comes out, even though she had the Rosie O'Donnell. Thank God my mind kicked in. She headed out with Rosie O'Donnell on The View, and that was right when Rosie quit. So anyway, now Elizabeth is back in the saddle doing another gay monologue. We'll probably run that in just a little while. And we also have a dance track by request by Erasure to run a little bit later this evening. It is a track by Erasure called A Little Respect, which is loaded from an Almighty mix, and by Almighty mix I mean there's actually a group called Almighty Remixes, and they do these. They're always fabulous. And I'll tell you what, we have three very very short clips. This is the level of stupidity that the American public is at this point in time. These are two very, very short. It won't take a minute to run them. Here is a woman talking about why she thinks people are gay. Agnes, run the They Were Raped track, please.
Most gay people are gay because somewhere when they were little, about around 2, 3, or 4, maybe 5 years old, they were raped.
There you have it. 2, 3, 4, maybe 5. We were all raped, which feeds directly into the old bit about why we're after your children, so we can rape them because they will be gay if we rape them. Good Lord. Oh, my. Okay, and she has another comment, too. Here she goes. This was the psychological reason. She has a biological reason, too. Let's run her second comment, and she will get into the physics of being gay. The next track is Hook Up.
There are certain things that are on a woman that are for a man to hook up with. You know, and a man does not hook up properly.
Oh, do I detect a little jealousy there? Do we are proprietary? Do we think that we be woman and we be proprietary and only we shall have the men? I think she sounds a little bit jealous to me. Yes, that is an exclusive purview of the female. I'm sorry to my lesbian friends. It's just these people just tick me off so badly. And then we have the third version of How Stupid is America? here we have a good God-loving Republican with the standard good God-loving Republican statement that he just don't care what anybody says. Agnes Wright, please.
I've been around a lot of different people. People are not born gay. I don't care what anybody says. It's not genetics. It's a learned trait. My point of view, a biblical perspective. It's not supposed to be that way.
Yep, it's not supposed to be that way. And just thought you'd like to know, it's not supposed to be that way. Let's see, it's 9:52. I think we might have time for one more before we go to the top of the hour. And this one, is, now I'm going to be honest with you. This, it's called Melba Talks About Gay Days. It's sometimes called Melba Versus the Gay Days. Now, this CD is actually available at Amazon. It's from a CD called Melba Comes Alive. Now, Melba is a professional prank caller, so to speak. Now, this track was sent to me. Now, in this particular case, the joke is that Melba is calling a Christian station to tell this Christian broadcaster and a talk show what she encountered at Gay Days in Disney World. So you have to understand that the caller is actually a prankster, but look what she does to the host. It's amazing. This is Melba Talks About Gay Days.
My son's family and I went to Disney World in Orlando 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And we didn't realize it, but the day that we went down there, I found out later they call it Gay Days.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Encouraged the homosexuals.
Oh, no. You were there, Melba?
I was there on that day, and it was the worst experience of my life.
Can you tell me what you saw? I mean, some of this you probably can't describe on a family show.
Well, that's true. We saw several things that just were shocking. But the worst part of it was, besides just, you know, it was like these people would kiss openly, you know, and embrace. But if we gave them a funny look, they would say rude things to us.
So when they were kissing, if you know, they're the ones doing the weird things.
Right.
But if you look at them funny, then they get mad at you.
Oh, yes. They were very hateful. And the worst part of it was, I have a nephew who is a teenager. He went off and rode the rides and things by himself all day long.
Yeah.
When we met him back there at the pavilion and we all got back together, he had a little friend with him, a boy a year or two older. And this young boy that he said, I met a new friend here. And this boy was very, effeminate. And he had like a pastel-colored triangle button on his.
Well, that's the gay rights symbol.
Well,
how old was this child?
18.
So this other boy was gay. At 18, he was already homosexual and proud of it.
We found that out later, Bob. See, and the horrible thing was that we apparently. His daddy works for the Disney company.
Oh, my goodness.
We felt like Disney people were sending their kids to try to recruit, and Stefan has not been the same since.
Oh,
we
my.
Think, because they kept riding the same ride over and over. Is that, It's a Small World ride?
Yeah.
And
but,
now,
so that kid was after your son. I mean, that gay boy was after your son.
I think so, and ever since, now Stefan doesn't see him, but I understand that they write back and forth, because this boy lives in California, and
Melba, you got to put a stop to that somehow.
Oh, Stefan uses, and I won't say anything nasty, you know, but he keeps referring to weird expressions like bonus eggs and felching and things, and we don't know what he means.
Well, you don't want to know, and I don't want to tell you, but I'll tell you what.
And that boy that he was with, I'm telling you,
now
his voice was higher than yours is, Bob. He was such a sissy. Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah, and he had the little pink triangle on.
Yeah.
Okay, I tell you what, Melba, I want to do right now.
All right.
Your child has come under the influence of the evil spirits of seducing homosexuality that were surrounding this other young lad.
Yeah. Yes.
And I want to pray with you right now.
Oh, please do.
In the name of Jesus to break that hold. Okay, Melba?
In the name of Jesus.
All right, now, Melba.
I believe it.
I want you to say, I, Melba. As the mother.
Of my child.
Have the authority. According to the word of God. Over my child. God gives me authority. Over my child. And I also.
Have authority.
Over any demon in hell. That tries to steal my child. Lord Jesus. I raised my son right. I raised him to be a man. Not a homosexual. And I'm not going to allow.
The devil.
To steal my son. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of perversion. Take your hands. Off my son. Now. Go!
You go!
Go!
You go!
In the name of Jesus! Set my son free!
Set him free!
In Jesus' name!
Oh, thank you, Jesus!
In Jesus' name!
Malabolo toya masanda! Oh, la kamatanda o toya!
Wow, you're getting a little blessed and happy there, Melba.
Okay, now.
Melba?
All right, now, Melba.
Melba?
Here with a four-bar religion, added to the other three R's.
Well, give me the
religion.
Give me the four.
Religion.
Give me the four.
Religion.
Add it to the other three R's.
Well, it's a good to learn some reading and arithmetic and writing. But you gotta have our religion. Add it to the other three R's.
And with that, there's really nothing you could follow it with except for the top of the hour. I'll see you on the other side of the news. I love you.
I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed.
This is the Quality News Network. In southern Afghanistan today, 75 Taliban militants launched a brazen attack on a coalition base. 20 militants were killed as they stormed the base on three sides using guns, grenades, and rockets. In Iraq, four more U.S. soldiers died today in the Diyala province, where troops have launched a summer campaign. 21 American troops have been killed so far this month. In Baghdad, only half the unity government's cabinet remains in place after the remaining Sunni representative quit yesterday. Intense negotiations are taking place to bring them back. British and U.S. officials are bringing in the United Nations to unify the divided factions. The British Foreign Office has requested the release of five former U.K. residents that the U.S. government believes to be dangerous and is housing at Guantanamo Bay. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice discussed the matter with Britain last month. The White House is considering the request, having said America doesn't want to be the world's jailer. Britain is anticipating a security headache. Pakistan's President General Pervez Musharraf told a visiting U.S. senator that talk of unilateral American military strikes against al-Qaeda in his country is not helpful. In recent days, senior U.S. officials and presidential candidate Barack Obama have publicly talked of carrying out such strikes. In Georgia, the president of Georgia has accused Russia of trying to provoke his country by dropping a one-ton missile yesterday. Nobody was injured when the dud bounced to the ground near a village. Russia denies dropping the bomb. The defense rested today in the trial of al-Qaeda terror suspect Jose Padilla. His lawyers didn't call witnesses or present evidence. One of his three co-defendants, who ran American Worldwide Relief, stands accused of using the group as a front to supply money and equipment to Islamic terrorists overseas. The three defendants face life in prison. Closing arguments resume Monday. 134 rescue workers are taking five different angles, blasting and drilling through coal and rock to find those six trapped miners in Utah. The Pentagon is flying in special equipment. Dozers are opening roads to truck in yet more. It's expected to take 3 days to reach the men. 90% of the nearby city of Huntington's residents are tied to the mine. The trapped miners' predicament is affecting them all. The search goes on for more survivors in the bridge collapse in Minneapolis. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
It's not hard to find people in need. They're everywhere. And there's more than one kind of disaster that affects people's lives. There's AIDS and the millions of orphans the disease has left behind. There are teeming refugee camps, the result of war and persecution. Mary Knoll has been reaching out to the world's needy for nearly a century. Mary Knoll is there right now, in 40 countries around the world. And with your help, Mary Knoll will be there tomorrow. Call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARY-KNOLL. Or, for more information, go to www.mygiftcounts.org. One world, one mission, Mary Knoll.
Health officials in England are suspecting an outbreak of foot and mouth disease likely to be sabotage. The affected farms are within a few miles of a government facility that manufactures the vaccine. The price of ag land in America's heartland is going through the roof as farmers race to plant corn for use in ethanol. Nebraska farmland has risen 17% in the first quarter of this year. On average, prices are up 14% from a year ago. A heat wave is sweeping much of the country, with areas as far north as Maine experiencing extreme temps. Heat advisories are in effect in many areas. It's good news for NASA, as the shuttle Endeavour waits on the launch pad to lift off tomorrow night. Cisco said its profits increased 25% as customers decided to spend more money on computer networking equipment. Ford has sold off Aston Martin for $931 million. Investor group Primrose Cove was the buyer. Ford's also looking at selling off its Jaguar and Land Rover divisions. Countrywide, America's largest mortgage lender is taking over the leases of Home Bank branches. They plan to hire a large number of Home Bank's loan originators as well. Home Bank stopped funding loans on Monday. As of June 30th, Countrywide was flush with $187 billion in cash. The markets were good for investors today. The Dow gained 35.5 points. The NASDAQ was up 14. The S&P was up 9. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
And he's back, riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential, a man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Here's your host, Peter Godbold.
And welcome back. Welcome back to the second hour of Strictly Confidential, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You can call troll-free and toll-free, 877, the number 4, Head On. That's 877-443-2366. Or if you have a unlimited long-distance calling plan, you could use that and save the studio a buck, and that's 304-658-3333. It rings in West Virginia. Mail arrives to Peter at onradionetwork.com. There's a lot of reaction to the last clip in the chat room, and indeed a lot of reaction on my part. It's all I can do to hold my sides, but that is just about the best piece of work I've heard in a long time. The first time I heard it, I thought that the caller was real. And, oh my God, was I horrified. And then after searching it, that the track was sent by a listener, I discovered that Melba is actually a prank caller and is a professional at doing that. You can find the CD with that particular cut on it, along with a number of other of Melba's prank calls to people on Amazon and probably other places. But the name of the CD is Melba, M-E-L-B-A. Melba Comes Alive. And you can locate that by doing a search on Melba Comes Alive at Amazon.com. And maybe we'll find some more of Melba tracks for the future. That was priceless. And we have a caller, Jim. Jim, welcome to Strictly Confidential. How are you this evening?
Sure.
Good evening.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. I've got you loud and clear this time. I do.
5 by 5. Well, you know, referencing hoof and mouth disease, I think a lot of people in Washington have that, you know?
Absolutely.
And for a minute, I thought that caller was genuine, and I said, well, let 100 flowers bloom. Let 100 schools of thought contend. You know, quite remarkable. I mean, really. But toward the end, I thought, my Lord, I could even determine whether that speech had cadence or whatever. Was she pretending like she was, like, talking in tongues?
Yes, absolutely. It broke out into tongues at the end, and there's discussion amongst the folks in the chat room anyway that, and I wish I knew more about Melba to be able to tell you this. I really should know. But we are fairly convinced that Melba is a man, and it's fabulous.
Really?
Yes.
Or should I say really?
Really, we really, really think that Melba is a man, and I really should have the answer. I'm supposed to have that answer, but I have a note from my mother that says I don't have to know that tonight.
Well, that was just indeed remarkable. That's the only word. It was quite remarkable.
Yes.
What the? I lost my train of thought there for a second. But there's one thing I would like for you to try to find to play on your show, and it's something I remember. And it's called The Hills of Kathmandu by a group.
Oh, I've got that. Yes, I actually have an extended remix of that. I used to play in the clubs, and I will upload it to the studio, and we'll certainly run it. It's a fabulous song. And by the way, we have an erasure track for you tonight, my dear.
Well, thank you very much. I do appreciate it. Very good group. Put on a hell of a...
Yes, and it's a... Well, that's what I hear. I have a friend who lives in Austin, and he calls occasionally, and he is a concert buff, and he is come to see... I can't begin to name all the artists this man goes to see. He just totally... That's what he lives to do. And he's seen Erasure on more than one occasion, and he just... raves about their live performances.
Well, I have a DVD of one that they did in Manchester back in the 90s, and it was really good. It was I mean, that whole audience was just going crazy, and they had wonderful electronics, which I thought, well, you know, I haven't heard in a long time. But I hope you're well, and I just wanted to check to be sure that was a real caller, or so that was Melba Toast or Dame Melba, whatever her name is.
Well, her prominence has reached the point that Melba is sufficient, and Melba is a professional prank caller. Now, the host was real, and all of the people that she called on. Now, I've not heard the whole CD. But if it's that quality, it's a must hear. And Melba, I believe, has more than one CD out, and that's her job in life, is to do prank calls, and she's absolutely fabulous. And oh my, I thought she was a real caller the first time I heard it, and I was just floored, horrified.
Well, you know, that's sort of a combination of, I don't know, Moms Mabley and Millie Jackson.
You know, maybe I could track Melba down. That would be fabulous to have Melba on the show. Maybe I can locate Melba. I hope Melba's not gone to the other life. I hope Melba's still with us, because I would love to have Melba on. That would be a riot.
Absolutely. And before I leave here, I want to ask you about Millie Jackson. Do you remember an old record she did called Get It Out Your System?
No, I don't, but I know Millie Jackson, but I don't remember that song. I really don't.
Well, I think on the front of the album, and I remember seeing it, there's just a toilet seat, or a toilet, and a bathroom.
Yeah.
Get It Out Your System. If she's singing about her boyfriend or somebody who's been running around on her. And it's, you know, it's pretty good, too. A little piece of handsome nostalgia there. She's talking about him flicking his dick all over town and and lighting a wildfire, and the wildfire beating him home, and the whole damn building collapsing around his ass and everything. But it's a hoot. You ought to play it if you can, okay?
Okay, and the name of that one more time so I can put it in my little note thing, because I have no brain cells left.
It's called Get It Out Your System. That was
Get It Out Your System.
I can't remember the name of the cut, but it's on the reverse of One Side. I remember that. Back of the old vinyl.
Okay.
Bag,
now that was. Did you say that was Millie Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the name of the album is called Get It Out Your System. And she certainly can sing some songs, but Lord have mercy. And I still remember an old record by Moms Mabley called Bustin' It Up. She was a trip, wasn't she?
Yes, Moms Mabley was, she was a pot of gold, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm. I can see her now with that sledgehammer in her hand on that record cover and not a chip in her head. She was a trip.
I know, and she did it with such outrage. It was just so fabulous. Who could do that? That was just perfect.
He basically had it going on. Well, listen, let me leave you to your listeners and your show and care, and I hope that the air conditioner keeps working. I don't hear any sounds, but I know that it's been pretty warm all over, so who knows.
Oh, my stars, yes. Yes, I hope it keeps working, too. It's definitely running higher than the permissible background level, but we're just going to go with that till the heat wave's over. We can't change that. I can't change that. Jim, I'm so glad you called.
That's another good song, too. The heat wave.
Which one?
The heat wave.
Heat wave, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that, and who was that? I can't remember who did that. Was it Martha and the Vandellas?
Martha and the Vandellas or somebody like that. I can't remember. Lord, we're going back into ancient history in the Middle Kingdom times, I guess.
I know. Pretty soon we're going to have hoop skirts and mint juleps.
I was thinking more of like linen barges floating down the Nile.
And, oh, Jesus.
And there's another record, you know, while we're just talking here. Do you remember Ema Sumac?
Oh, yes, yes. And there was a scandal about her name spelled backwards.
Right. And this woman had like a voice that had like a 5-octave range, and she could basically use human voice as an instrument, you know?
Well, I heard years, hundreds of years ago, I'm one of her, it was on an LP, I don't remember who had it, I think it was one of my uncles, I think one of my gay uncles, by the way, but the family never referred to him as gay, so of course I didn't know, but apparently I had several, not that anybody bothered to share it with me, but anyway, one of my gay, now deceased, uncles had Ema Sumac, and it was amazing, such a voice.
Really, incredible, incredible, incredible. Okay, well listen, I hope you have a good evening, and you take care, and we will be talking to you later.
Hugs to you, Jim, and thank you for calling.
All right, Peter, but good night.
Good night, sir. And we'll run Jim's erasure request a little bit later in the show, but it looks like it's about that time, and that time is, as we come up on the break, you're listening to Strictly Confidential, toll-free 877, the number 4, head-on. I'm your host, Peter Godbold, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner, and you're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at
the Head On Radio Network.
Now get back to work.
Hi, I'm V.
And I'm John.
And we're from Fierce, a community organization for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer questioning youth of color in New York City.
For many years, the Christian Fellowship here has been a place for our community, a space where we can all go and be ourselves.
A space where healthcare providers can come and provide free HIV testing and information to other services.
However, these services and safe space are being threatened.
To become a member of Fierce and help keep our Christopher Pierce safe for queer and trans people, contact us at 646-336-6789 or visit our website at fiercenyc.org.
And welcome back to Strictly Confidential. I've got to tell you, the chat room is an amazing place. The folks there can find anything. And over this last break, I have found our friend Lottie in chat that Melba's real name is Brother Russell. And I've also been given a website with podcasts from Brother Russell, which should be a source of hours of fun on the show. And perhaps I can contact Brother Russell. The site is Podbean. That's Podbean.com. Actually, you should use Melba, Melba.podbean. That's Podbean.com. And thank you, Lottie. I'll check into that. You should really join our chat room. If you'll stop by Strictly Confidential Radio to find a link to the chat room, as well as the various archives. The telephone number is 877, the number 4 head on, or 304-658-3333. And did you think that last bumper was stuck? I can be you. I can be you. It's such a trip. That is a fabulous remix. I just think that's a wonderful song. I'm going to cover this story. It's, you know, these, I've got some lighter ones in here, but I've been meaning to cover this for a while, and it's come up again today in the news, so I'm going to go ahead and cover it, even though the story dates back about a week or so, that long since I first located it, but haven't been able to fit it in. But since there's an update on today, a 16-year-old boy has been sentenced to 30 years in prison. Yes, he has. 30 years in prison, and after 30 years in prison, he will have the possibility of parole. Now, the prosecutors wanted a life sentence for this young man, and he's actually emotionally and behaviorally disabled or disturbed student. For instance, before the trial, he sat and watched Spud SquarePants, even though he is 16 years old. The teachers say that he excelled in art, and last year he's
I've been selected to participate in a district-wide art contest. And he's going to prison. He's going to prison after years of begging his principal to do something about the kids who were taunting him and teasing him and calling him a fag and shoving him around. He's going to prison after years of telling his parents what was going on at school and that the teachers and the principal would not stop the homophobia and the sexually explicit slurs and the F word and all the other things that he had to endure. He told the detectives that he had asked the... Well, you need to know the rest of the story, don't you? He shot the principal. He walked into the school, armed, and he shot the principal because the principal would not protect him. He told the detectives that he had been asking the principal, whose name was Klang, for 3 years to stop the kids from calling him a fag, and that the principal did nothing to stop them. Neither did the teachers. And he complained to his mother that he would be shoved in the halls and pushed down and et cetera, et cetera. So it boiled out into uncontrollable rage. You know, I've just got to say to you, you know, I'm not wired that tightly myself. But you take a 16-year-old whose brain isn't even fully developed yet. I believe that takes place, around 23, 24, when all your emotions are pretty much wired together and you have able to control impulses. And this guy's emotionally disabled and disturbed anyway, and in classes. But you take somebody that has been kicked around and pushed around all their lives, and you don't stop. You allow this to continue. Some people snap. You remember the story years ago about the older man and the younger man? What was the guy about 16, 24? Anyway, they rode around the country shooting people, and the guy would hide in the trunk and shoot people through a hole that they had drilled in the back of the trunk just at random. I think that was probably an example of people who just had been pushed too far and eventually snapped. Not that there's any justification for it, and I'm sure the principal's family mourns him, and but Jesus, people, you know, not only is it the right thing to let people have their rights and to be able to coexist and share the air on this damn planet, not only is it just the right thing to do, it's the safe thing to do, because as time goes on, there'll be more of this. More kids who are pushed to the brink and will whip out a gun and shoot your ASS. He's been sentenced to 30 years in prison for even though he is emotionally disturbed and even though he does have a long history of harassment, even though all those things, he did commit murder. 30 years because no one would stand up for the guy. As I said, the prosecutors were looking for a life sentence. And a study, we talked about some studies in England about abuse of school children. And, we have a lot of listeners who are teachers. You know, we'd maybe like to hear from you guys. You might give us a call sometime and tell us some of these stories. But a new U.S. study, though, we're getting away from the England bit. We've got some that are actually happening in the United States now. Gay and lesbian teens are 3 to 4 times more likely to report being bullied than straight teens. The study revealed that bisexual teens identifying themselves as mostly heterosexual are twice as likely to be bullied. And it's clear from the study that sexual minority youth are a population that is on the edge and vulnerable. It needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed now, and it needs to be addressed in schools. What about the Columbine kid? Wasn't he was mad at the rich kids for you know, he was disturbed in another way. I don't think he was a fag, but maybe it's unrelated altogether. But this whole thing of allowing kids to get kicked around, you don't know which one's going to snap. You really don't. It's not safe. You know, it's not safe anymore. It says 90% of the participants in this study was of 7,500 adolescents from 14 to 22. 90% of the participants described themselves as heterosexual. Only 1% identified themselves as homosexual, and 8% describes themselves as mostly heterosexual. And they were also in the study. There were these kids who were abused are pusher, are more likely to smoke, drink, use drugs, be depressed, eating disorders, et cetera, et cetera. And the people who did the study are saying that they feel that that's a result of social isolation, harassment, bullying, violence. You know, self-medication is not unheard of in this society. Last time I checked. And to compound this, instead of standing up for the kids and perhaps offending a few fundamentalists who insist on having the right to beat the hell out of us any time they choose, we have the school board in County Virginia who's now agreed to allow an ex-gay group to post material in the high school for the students claiming that that gay folks can be reversed. Yes, so not only are the kids allowed to be bullied now they can be taunted with, you're sick and you need to go do this because there's something wrong with you, because these people could fix you. You've got advice coming from the enemy now. You've got advice coming from the people who taunt you. There's a whole group. We had P-Flag on. Do you remember the parents, families, friends of lesbians and gays? I can never remember all the... But now there's a new group called P-Fox, and it's Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays. Yes, this group has... They filed a lawsuit to put their material in the school. And even though the American Psychological Association last year issued a stinging rebuke, a huge statement about the ex-gay ministry and how harmful it was to people, especially young kids coming up, even though the Americans, even though the doctors and the thinking people have completely kick curb because of a lawsuit, and you can just bet your bottom dollar that it was one of the conservative Bush judges in charge of it. They claimed the school district had discriminated against them by refusing them to distribute flyers, and so the Arlington County School System is now allowing them. And PFOX says it will now press and push the issue to be able to distribute this material in middle schools. And a PFOX spokesman says at this point, they're not planning on targeting younger students at this time. Isn't that a crock? There is absolutely no scientific evidence that sexual orientation can be changed, period. They have tried hypnosis. They have tried hanging. They've tried frontal lobotomy. They've tried running videos of someone of your gender while pumping medications that make you vomit violently into your blood system. There's a man who died vomiting violently. They left him in his... They tied him to the bed, and he was left for a week in his own vomit and his own feces and his own urine while being pumped drugs into his system that vomit. He died. True story. I can do that. I may have done it before. It's hard to, you know, this is like a nightmare, the things I have to tell you guys. So sometimes I can't remember which particular nightmare I've told you about and which particular nightmare I just read and couldn't bring myself to talk about. So, you remember too, we had back, it was back in June, was it June or May or June, that the leaders of the ex-gay, they all came out and apologized and said that they had acted sincerely, but they were wrong, and that they had caused isolation, and they were ashamed of all the things that they had done and said. But no, now we can have the pamphlets in the school. Now not only can the military come in there and ship your kids off to Iraq, promising them a sign-on fee and then taking it back when they come back without their arms and their legs. They can beat up the gay kids now by telling them they can change. Yes, sir, they can change. And on top of this, Bush has now announced that they will, in fact, veto the crime legislation that we've talked about, the Matthew Shepard hate crimes legislation. Bush is saying that
the bill is so broad that virtually any crime involving a homosexual has potential to have a hate crime. And the proposals are just not sufficiently narrow. Not sufficiently narrow. What in the hell do you want? Everybody's name and address in advance? Good Lord. And you've got the White House listening to the Family Research Council and people claiming that it's going to hinder their free speech. And we even got one of President Nixon's former aides turned Pentecostal preacher, Chuck Colson, up at the White House hanging out and worming his way around. He's saying that the bill is not about crime prevention. It's not about civil rights. It's about outlawing peaceful speech. Speech that asserts that homosexual behavior is morally wrong. And so there we have it. A ruling for the God hates fags people. And a 16-year-old was sentenced to 30 years in prison with the possibility of parole in 30 years. I'm telling you, people, this needs to be fixed. And more people are going to die. I'm not egging anybody on. You know, I'm all for, you know, peaceful and legal means for changing things. But there are a lot of people that are not wired real well. Hell, I'm not wired that tight myself. I'm not particularly dangerous. But, you know, I've been kicked around a little myself. And I tried to cover this just briefly. At the end of the show last night, I tried to fit it in. I saw it fly by me in the chat room, and I had the story to do. But I want to tell you about the Bob Allen guy just briefly. Remember the... I'm not going to go deeply into the toilet. Ha, ha, ha. We're not going to go deeply in. But he's the guy who, in a public toilet, you know, offered the cop $20 for a sex act. Okay. He is now claiming that he was not there to have sex with anyone, nor was he there to exchange money. He's saying he was scared. He was saying that the officer was a stocky black male, and there were nothing but other black guys around the park. Oh, my God, the black men made me do it. The black men made me want to play with your pee-pee. Oh, Lord. He said he was afraid that he was about to become a statistic because of the black men hanging around the park. And so that's why he offered to pay the police officer for a sex act. Unbelievable. But that's what he's trying to fly. That's the boat he's trying he's trying to float. Swear to God. And there's a whole bunch of dialogue between what he said and what the policeman said and what the policeman said and what he said and back and forth. But ain't no point in getting into all that without getting back into the toilet again. And I really don't want to go there. I said I really wasn't going to mention it again. But this was too much. I had to share with you that the black made him do it. And that's his story, and he's sticking to it. And, by the way, five new congresspeople have signed on to the legislation for repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Five new people plus the 126 that already had signed on to it. I believe that's 131. Looks like that ball is rolling fairly well. You know, the Pentagon is now not screaming an objection to it, and militaries all over the world, it's not an issue, only in our screwed-up military. So you can be sure there's going to be a huge assault by the American Family Association. They've got the hate crimes legislation all wrapped up with Bush saying he's going to veto it. Now that they've got that little fire under control, you can count on all guns coming out for the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. Shara Greer has commented on this. If you recall, Shara Greer was one of our wonderful guests from SLDN recently. And she's saying that Americans are overwhelmingly support the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and the contribution that gay groups, the gay troops have brought to our country. And if you recall, we did the exhibit in San Francisco at the GM Museum, and all of the... I don't want to miss this. I was going to cover this the other night. Lord have mercy. Who can resist a fireman, especially a half-naked fireman who's gorgeous? Every year, the San Diego... Well, I'm sure some people could.
Oh, Lord, I couldn't, but I'm sure somebody could. So anyway, every year in New York, the FDNY, the Fire Department of New York City, they put out the fireman's calendar. Let's see what the name of the calendar is. It's a firefighter's half-naked calendar or something. I don't see the name of it. I've never looked at it. I didn't inhale. In any case, they do that every year. But the calendars feature, they're wildly popular. They sell, what, they make $150,000 from these calendars every year. And calendars are like $16 a pop. They're not going to participate in it anymore. I was going to tell you about the calendar the other night and tell you about to tell you about that. But now a bunch of doo-doo has hit the fan. One of the firemen, one of the shirtless firemen hunks that's in the 2008 calendar, apparently a few years back, before he was employed by the fire department, by the way, was in a movie called Guys Gone Wild. I think it, sort of the male equivalent of Girls Gone Wild. Well, in this movie, the people in the camera operators, they got him to take his clothes off. They wanted him to dance on the bed for him, but he refused to do that. But he did go into the hotel, into the shower naked. And you can see his fire hose and everything. So anyway, now that this guy is with the fire department, now mind you, the fire department is not firing him because he did this before he showed his hose prior to joining the fire department. Anyway, the fact that people have seen him with no clothes on is apparently a huge issue, and so they are dropping the whole calendar. It will not be sold this year. They're pulling it out completely. Now, I find this amazing. It makes $150,000 a year for them. Who cares? And, that's like saying that, if there was some sort of a calendar with beautiful women, just because one of the women had posed in Playboy years ago and we had seen more of her than was available in the calendar, I don't care one way or the other really what they do. It's New York. It hasn't got much to do with me down here. I'm just trying to beat the heat. But it just seems kind of silly to me for them to, it's huge. They are pulling the FDNY Foundation Beefcake Calendar, so there's no more calendar. I never had one, that's all I wanted to tell you about that. The rest of it's, and Speak Fighters. I've got to tell you this one. You remember we did we talked about the San Francisco a gay pride event, and one of our listeners in San Diego had Glenn in San Diego had sent us his collection of photographs he had taken, and we posted it at strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and a lot of you folks have looked at that. You may have noticed in some of those pictures, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't go back and look at them again today, but if I'm not mistaken, you'll see the San Diego Fire Department in those pictures. They were part of the gay pride parade. They marched through, and drove a fire truck down, and some of the firemen were walking through. Well, some of those firemen are now suing. They are suing because they say the bystanders taunted them with sexually explicit comments. Okay, some of the firemen in that parade were not gay or lesbians, and they participated in the event. So now they are suing because those evil homosexuals made remarks like, these are being called lewd and offensive. Some of the men on the sidelines, and we're not all nice, virgin, angelic people by any means. A few of the guys screamed something like, "You can put out my fire anytime." Okay, now that's really bad, huh? Okay, well, what can I tell you? I mean, how about it? How about it, women? How many times have you been screamed at much worse than "you can put out my fire anytime"? It's like these guys can dish it, but they sure as hell can't take it. They said they were highly offended because they saw men blowing kisses at them. Oh, my God. And they, this is
This is the best part. Save the best part for last. Suing because they were embarrassed because the evangelicals were screaming at them that they were going to go to hell. Oh, honey, walk a mile in our shoes. I got to tell you, that's par for the course. I mean, you can't stand up to a little, you're going to hell. What kind of a weak... Oh, Lord, I don't want to get the language going. But that's just amazing to me. You could put out my fire was offensive and lewd, and the religious industry was yelling at them that they were going to go to hell. So they're suing the fire department. They were forced to participate. I don't think they were. I mean, they were probably asked to. I don't think anybody was threatened with firing. But I believe you'll find a photograph of the people and the link to. On the Strictly Confidential radio site, the link to the San Diego pictures, and you know the poor babies. I mean, you know, Fred Phelps for a week, boys, and see how butch and tough and good looking you are then. Oh Jesus, I swear. You know, half the straight men in this country, I got to tell you, there's no way they could. They're not tough enough to be gay. You know, I have times. That I'm glad I wasn't born a woman because I'm not tough enough to be a woman. And I really mean that. Women have, you know, I mean, I got to tell you, I just don't know how you, I mean, you get, no, I'm surprised women aren't, you know, arming themselves and climbing up on rooftops and blowing away men every day, quite frankly. But I say, you know, I'm glad I wasn't born a woman. I couldn't take it. And conversely, I have now of the opinion that, straight folks better be glad they weren't born gay, because I don't think they could take it. I honestly don't think they could take it. Before we go too much further, I had promised Jim I was going to run. He had requested your track a week ago, and I located one for him. It is a remix of an Erasure track called A Little Respect. It's what's called an Almighty remix, and it is quite fabulous. And so let's run the request track, which is also the dance track of the evening, the Almighty mix of Erasure doing A Little Respect.
If I should fall, would you walk? that you give me no reason why you're making me work so hard.
Have it, an almighty remix, a great track, by Erasure, and I did enjoy that, let's say. I even danced a little. God, you know, the horn is talking to us poor hosts who live in the South, who have to do this show with the air conditioner running without a shirt, and they want us to get video cameras. Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, actually, it's being discussed. You know, a lot of broadcasting these days, even if it is a radio show, there is a video feed available for it. And I suppose that means I'll just have to get some of my pretty outfits and put them on and get a video camera and get myself a couple of them palm trees. I'll go down to Publix. That's what I'll do. I'll head down to Publix and dig up some of them unnatural palm trees that are not supposed to grow in North Florida. And I'll plant one behind me, and I'll have a palm tree and an oak tree, and I'll wear a pretty outfit, and we'll do the show. Oh, God, my eyes. And this is a not-to-be-missed thing. You guys are going to die. This is absolutely wonderful. You know, the Lutherans are having a terrible, terrible time with the churches all splitting, and everybody's upset about gays and gay marriage, and everybody's all tense and uptight. Well, there were a hell of a lot of Lutherans that got a big old shock. 82, count them, 82 ministers staged a mass coming out. Oh, this is just perfect. The reference I'm getting here says they staged a coming out of biblical proportions. Fabulous imagery. They stepped out of the closet just to let the Lutherans know, hey, honey, we're here, we've been here, we're not going anywhere. You might as well get over it. You know, that's what this invisible thing does. It allows people to believe that there aren't any homosexuals lurking around in their lives. But the fact of the matter is, we're everywhere. So they staged a mass coming out, 82 ministers. Now, there is a PDF file. I didn't bother to
to print it. Of all 82, and ministers saw some, you know, have been with the church. I believe the that I saw that had been there the longest actually joined the Lutheran Church back in 1968. So what's that, 70, 89, you know, 30, 40 years. And so these are, and one of the people that came out, he was retired from his Michigan parish, and he actually retired early. Many of these ministers are active now, mind you. Not all are retired by any means. In fact, the huge majority are active. But some were retired, and they came out, you know, they're still close to the church. He retired from his Michigan parish early, actually, to enjoy time with his longtime lover, who he kept from the congregation during his entire time with Holy Faith Episcopal Lutheran Church in Michigan. And he said, "I retired a couple of years sooner than I really needed to because of this." He said, "I tried to keep quiet, and I tried to keep the peace," and he said, "It's painful. You finally get to the point in your life where you're just tired of it. You just can't take it anymore." So active, retired, on leave, every size, shape, and dimension, all came out at once and scared the hell out of the... Can you imagine? I bet that scared the hell out of the Lutherans. Oh, my God, I would have loved to have seen that. I'm going to make a mass appearance at the Lutheran Conference, which is coming up in Chicago. There is a bicentennial event, and Lutheran leaders are going to discuss, can you believe it, the role of gays in the church. And, of course, the rules in the Lutheran church is that ministers have to be married, and they are expected to live in fidelity with their spouses. I assume infidelity means that they, you know, as opposed to a cheap Walmart boombox. But they're living in high fidelity with their spouses, and that sexual relationships outside of marriage, which of course do, if I might remind you, are a absolute no-no. So there you have it. 82 ministers from the Lutheran Church scared the living hell. Ha! I love it. Out of the Lutheran. You go, honey! And the Methodist Church, I mean, the same thing could happen. I mean, not this year, that, you know, the Methodist Church is not boiling over to the point that 82 ministers would come out. But you know, it's like the article we did, the story we covered the other day, that basically the churches would shut down if all the organists and the guys that, you know, designed the even the caretakers and the guys that work on the air conditioning and the sound system guys like moi. Yep, the churches would shut down if we weren't there. And also, recently, I just changed records here. This is new subject. Peter goes break. New subject. Do you remember a little while ago we did the article on Novartis, which is the manufacturer of AIDS medications, and they were suing India, not the country India. They were suing India because India is making generic versions of their drugs to distribute to the poor people on the planet who would die without them. And so Novartis was India to, as a cease and desist from duplicating their products. So they brought the suit against the Indian government to change a section of the country's patent laws. And in any case, the Indian court dismissed the suit. Now, Novartis is promised not to renew the suit, or in other words, not to pursue it to another level. And they did this only because more than 45,000 care supporters, which is a site, Agnes put me on to these folks, sent in letters urging Novartis CEO Dr. Vasella to drop the case, to protect people's lives. They can't afford that. Do you know that these drugs, the typical AIDS medication is $900 a month? Absolutely, $900 a month. And you add up a cocktail and you're at $2,000 a month. No, I mean, who could afford that? Nobody could afford that. So in any case, although Novartis did not drop the suit as the letters requested, they did promise that they, and after weeks of intense public pressure, I might add, they did announce that they were, quote, unlikely, end quote, to appeal the Indian court's ruling. And so millions of people were saved by that response from the care supporters, the 45,000 signatures that went in. And You know, it's getting close to that time. I have to say good evening to you. And again, there's lots of stuff we still need to cover. And one day we shall, maybe even one day soon. I'm so glad you could be with me this evening, as I am so glad I could be with you. And this is Strictly Confidential. My name is Peter Godbold, and we welcome you here, and we welcome you back tomorrow. And in saying good evening, this is Cynthia Manley reminding you to...
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. In southern Afghanistan today, 75 Taliban militants launched a brazen attack on a coalition base. 20 militants were killed as they stormed the base on three sides using guns, grenades, and rockets. In Iraq, four more U.S. soldiers died today in the Diyala province, where troops have launched a summer campaign. 21 American troops have been killed so far this month. In Baghdad, only half the unity government's cabinet remains in place after the remaining Sunni representative quit yesterday. Intense negotiations are taking place to bring them back. British and U.S. officials are bringing in the United Nations to unify the divided factions. The British Foreign Office has requested the release of five former UK residents that the U.S. government believes to be dangerous and is housing at Guantanamo Bay. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice discussed the matter with Britain last month. The White House is considering the request, having said America doesn't want to be the world's jailer. Britain is anticipating a security headache. Pakistan's President General Pervez Musharraf told a visiting U.S. senator that talk of unilateral American military strikes against al-Qaeda in his country is not helpful. In recent days, senior U.S. officials and presidential candidate Barack Obama have publicly talked of carrying out such strikes. In Georgia, the president of Georgia has accused Russia of trying to provoke his country by dropping a one-ton missile yesterday. Nobody was injured when the dud bounced to the ground near a village. Russia denies dropping the bomb. The defense rested today in the trial of al-Qaeda terror suspect Jose Padilla. His lawyers didn't call witnesses or present evidence. One of his three co-defendants, who ran American Worldwide Relief, stands accused of using the group as a front to supply money and equipment to Islamic terrorists overseas. The three defendants face life in prison. Closing arguments resume Monday.